This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and again, your number is 877-217-5757. We let Mark Ballard go. He, too, is trolling the halls of the Capitol, reporting on what's going on, and we'll catch up with him again next week. We're joined now by Jason Bauman. He's involved with the New York Public Library in a big way. He's assistant director for the collection department. But his book is The Stonewall Reader, June 28, 1969, a seemingly routine raid on a popular gay bar in Greenwich Village ended with a riot that fueled the gay liberation movement, considered a significant moment in the second half of the 20th century. And this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. And the Stonewall Reader is an anthology chronicling this tumultuous fight for rights in the 1960s and the activists who spearheaded it. And good morning to you, Jason Bauman. Jason, welcome to Talk Louisiana. Matt, there we go. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Well, tell us about your involvement in a huge way, massive research involved in this. And in 1969, for some of us, doesn't seem like so long ago. The New York Mets were in New York City that year, winning the World Championship in baseball, the World Series. The New York Knicks were about to win the NBA title. Joe Namath led the Jets to the Super Bowl title on January 12th. But on June 28th, a major event took place, the Stonewall Uprising. How significant in retrospect was it?
It was a major turning point. In 1960s, you already have a political community around the country through organizations, the Mattachine Society and the Daughters of Bilitis, who were really pioneering organizations for gays and lesbians. But these are very small groups of people, 10, 20 people in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles. And after Stonewall, this movement really blossoms, and it's really a whole new generation of people, of LGBTQ young people, participate in the conflict with the police and then are pulled into this activism and are radicalized by that experience. And so after Stonewall, really this movement becomes a mass movement with thousands of participants around the country.
All right. Well, this June 28, 1969 raid ended with a riot. What exactly happened?
So Stonewall was a illegal club, and so just having context in mind, so homosexuality is illegal in the United States in the 1960s and 70s, and even really up to 2003 with Lawrence versus Texas. Homosexuality is also classified as a mental illness at that time, and so you could be institutionalized, subjected to electroshock, and put away by your family for being gay. In New York and many other cities, a bar could be closed down if they had gay patrons or lose their liquor license. And also you could be arrested for cross-dressing or wearing gender nonconforming clothing in New York City. So the pressure of that really radicalizes the patrons at this bar. They're fed up with the way they're treated by the police and by society. They're inspired by the civil rights movement, by the Black Power movement, also by the anti-war movement, which were also happening in United States in the 1960s. And in that moment, bar is raided, the patrons resist arrest, and it leads to almost a week of rioting and conflicts with the police in New York City. There were a number of other riots, smaller riots across the United States in the 1960s, in Los Angeles, in Philadelphia, in San Francisco, and it really culminates with this riot at Stonewall that becomes this turning point for the movement.
It is hard to fathom how in 50 years things have changed. We have same-sex marriage now, which is the law of the land, as I think most people in the country believe it should be. But 50 years ago, as you noted, Time magazine was writing in its pages that homosexuality was a mental condition. And in New York City, some people might have thought you were immune to this kind of thing, but obviously you were not.
Yeah, no, and it was all around the country. One of the last pieces in the book, we have some selections from flyers from the time, and there's this flyer that Mattachine Society, which was the major gay activist organization in the 60s, put together outlining the legal penalties for homosexuality in the United States. and going state by state. And so in New York, you could serve three, in the 1960s, you could serve 3 months in jail for homosexuality. In Nevada, it was possible life in prison for sodomy in Nevada. So just that's the thing that people really have to keep in mind is really the level of social constraint and oppression that these people were facing in the 1960s.
You note that there were some other riots that gained national attention prior to Stonewall, but they didn't cause change the way Stonewall did. And we're talking about a few riots that got a lot of publicity in the 1950s, late 50s, and early to mid-60s, one in 1967 in Los Angeles at the Black Cat Tavern. But what was it about Stonewall that caused action to be taken?
I think it was really, it was less about Stonewall itself as much as that the community had really matured to a certain level that it was willing to really embrace that moment. You know, I think each of those successive riots from like Cooper Dona to Compton, cafeteria, to riots in Philadelphia, with each one of those moments, we pushed the envelope a little bit further. It's also in the particularly the political community in New York in the 1960s for gays and lesbians was really pushing for demonstrations and direct action. And so there was, and they were part of also in Washington, D.C., so there were these pioneering demonstrations at the Pentagon, at the White House, and at U.S. Civil Service Commission, and also in Philadelphia at the Independence Hall. So that are a lead up to Stonewall. So you, because in the 1950s, gay and lesbian activists, they were holding panels, they were sort of operating as a social movement. And in the mid 60s, there becomes this thing of doing demonstrations, and they're inspired by the civil rights movement. So I think it's you have this growth of a political movement. You have people inspired by the anti-war movement in particular, and also by the Black Panthers. And really, the community is inspired enough to take that step to fight against the police.
Well, you note in your foreword of a book that is getting attention and justifiably so, the Stonewall Reader from the New York Public Library, Jason Bauman, notes that three states still have laws which ban so-called crimes against nature. Louisiana got rid of its law. But a few years ago, the sheriff here in East Baton Rouge Parish was still having his deputies arrest people for a law that had been repealed. So we still have a ways to go, don't we?
Yeah. And it's also, it's interesting in the book is the Manichean activists also outline adultery, right, and cohabitation, right, that were part of those laws, and the number of, not just homosexuality, but the state's regulation of people's private lives in general, right, which is something hopefully we're moving away from. And I think they were trying to make that point of, like, how much do you want the government in your bedroom, right? And people take for granted today that they might live together and these kinds of things, much less homosexuality. So
You note that in January of 1970, which would have been 6 months after Stonewall, you moved to Rome for 6 months, and you say when you came back, things had changed quite a bit. At gay dance clubs, complete with go-go boys and white towels under black light, how did change happen so suddenly?
You know, it's true. There's a total transformation in New York from 69 to 70, and it's two organizations that started. It was a Gay Liberation Front and then the Gay Activists Alliance, and they really drew in all of these young people who were radicalized by Stonewall to be politically active, but also they held dances, they had protests against elected officials, they started magazines, and so it was all of this grassroots political activity that explodes in New York and around the country, because also, and that's part of this, why this became this national moment and movement, is activists from Gay Liberation Front and Gay Activists Alliance would send activists on road trips to start chapters all over the country, often through colleges and student associations. So they really take it on the road and spread the thing nationally.
Well, in 1969, we didn't have the World Wide Web. We didn't have the 24-hour news cycle on cable channels. We had Walter Cronkite and Johnny Carson, and they weren't talking a lot about these kinds of things. How did it become a national phenomenon without the availability of the mass media that we have today?
Actually, so it was the rise of the LGBTQ press, and so there was a number of these magazines, particularly The Ladder, One, Mattachine Review, in the 1960s that were really pulling together these political communities. And then in the right after Stonewall, there's a huge number of newspapers that emerge. Gay Liberation Front has this paper come out, the paper Gay Power, also the news magazine The Advocate, which had grown out of the Black Cat protests in 1967, which you mentioned, and so that leads to this organization, SIR, and others that do activism, but also it's the rise of the gay press, and that's really how everybody connected then. Also, some of the there were a few people included in the book, so there's Randy Wicker, who was one of the first out gay people to be on television talking about his experience, also Barbara Giddings. And they were really pioneering and being out as gay people.
Thank you, Jason Bauman from the New York Public Library. The book is The Stonewall Reader, and we appreciate your time and your insights and remembering a major event of worldwide significance 50 years ago. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, for Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay tuned.